Sam Berjofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC. Happy Sunday. Oh my goodness. Well, I'm gonna start with the news, so I gotta fill you in. There is some show news. Stand by for a program EAM, Emergency Action Message. Okay. So, well, I've enjoyed the weekends. The weekends are fun. I love talking to you on the weekends, but we are moving, and it's a great move. Because now, instead of getting the show just for 2 hours on Saturday and Sunday, we are moving to weeknights. And it's going to, well, 7 to 8 p.m. right here on KABC, Monday to Friday. And I'm going to be breaking down the events of the day for you, bringing you the content nobody else talks about. So, Monday nights, Tuesday nights, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you get the point. Monday through Friday, Sam Nation, 7 p.m. on Talk Radio 790. It's going to be fun. Robbie, are you ready? Are you, well, I know the weekend, yeah, I feel like we're abandoning our firstborn. But, you know, it's, has to be done. So, that's right. Now, 5 days a week, we will report to you from an undisclosed location, deep behind the orange curtain, bringing you a delightfully controversial macro aggression zone. There's no playing with Play-Doh here. There's no drawing pictures or, you know, adult coloring books. Just common sense. And we'll be doing that Monday to Friday. I'm excited. Now, okay, and part of the reason I'm excited is because it's fun, I think, for me to be able to react to things more as they happen. Because the weekends tend to be more reflective of what's happened over the week. And one of those things that's going on and that, you know, I think we got to talk about it. I want to give you my take on it. Kaepernick. Well, so let's talk about it here. So what does he do? This is the protest, and he decides at some point in time to not stand for the national anthem. And you know, also, the first thing that came to mind is that book. I don't remember when it came out. I should look at it. But the one first thing that came up is that book, Shut Up and Sing. And it was the premise of the book, of course, was that, you know, that entertainers, for the sake of their brand and for the sake of all of us, should just be quiet and do what they do best, which is entertain us. To make movies, create albums, record albums, perform on stage, whatever it is. Because, you know, yeah, because you know what it is, and I who's Sean Penn, for example. Now, there is a guy who is an extremely talented actor. I can't stand Sean Penn movies. I can't watch them anymore. They're not watchable. It's not because he's a bad actor. His acting has gotten worse. It's that I can't divorce Sean Penn, the activist, from Sean Penn, the actor playing a different character. I can't do it. And a lot of people out there can't do it either. And then it's damaging to the brand. So, for example, if you're a studio, you have a choice between Sean Penn and maybe another actor who isn't as controversial. Hey, a lot of these discussions, a lot of these decisions are based on dollars. It's how our world works. It's based on money. And if you think that the NFL is any different from a major movie studio, if you think that a sports team or sports franchise is any different from a record label, when it comes to dollars, when it comes to money, when it comes to profit, you're wrong. And what happens is you get these stars who really, I think, and you, when you get to know some of these people, you realize it's kind of an empty, vapid existence. Let me explain, if this may sound terribly offensive, in which case, good. Because here's the thing. Most actors and most athletes go from relative poverty and relative obscurity, and they either succeed or they don't. But if they succeed, they go from relative obscurity to sudden wealth. It's not quite the same as a businessman, an entrepreneur, maybe a doctor who slowly builds his practice or slowly builds his business. It's different. This is always my theory on why actors are such big libs. My theory is that a lot of these people went literally from starving and washing dishes to suddenly becoming multimillionaires. They got their lucky break. They got rich. And the next step is they feel guilty as hell about it. Oh, well, but Sam, what do you mean about that? They just feel guilty. They start having these feelings that, I didn't earn it. It just was too easy. And there's something interesting about the human condition. I think this is a key point in it, that we very quickly forget our hard times. When I went through law school and I took a bar exam in California and Nevada, very difficult. When you're in the middle of finals and you're heading into a major exam, boy, you feel like the world is closing in on you. And guess what happens after you pass the exam and get your degree and move on with life? You look back at it, and this is a survival instinct that we have as humans. This is programmed in us through evolution. When you look back at it, at your bad experience, you feel, you just remember the good stuff. So I'm talking to you here about this Kaepernick thing, because I think this all ties into it, okay? You've got a guy who he does okay. I mean, he grows up middle class. He actually relatively privileged compared to many players. He's adopted, I believe, and ironically raised by white parents. But he's half black, and he has that identity. But so now, what's his contract? $12 million, $11.9 million, something like that, is annual salary. So I don't care how middle class, happy middle class you grew up, but you go from, you know, college athlete, you know, where you get attention, but you're poor for the most part. And suddenly you get drafted, you're in the NFL, and you're making gobs of money. I promise you that for people in that position looking back, you forget the hard time. You forget some of the challenges that led up to it, and you start to feel a little bit of a malaise. You want to feel some purpose in your life. Because, look, let's go back to the actors. Some of these actors, they'll lament. They'll work in a big movie. They get paid, you know, millions and millions of dollars to be in the movie. But what have they really done of substance? Talk to a Hollywood actor if you get a chance. I've seen this, and I've talked to people, and I want to be, you know, you realize talking to them that there's, they want purpose in life, and you and I are no different. Okay. Everybody wants a purpose in life, and very few people are good with just taking the cash and moving on saying, hey, everything's good. So what happens? The point I'm making is, you've got a conflict, and it's an inner conflict that's very powerful, and it's significant. And it's a conflict between, hey, what am I doing here? Am I just a performing monkey, or am I somebody of substance? Add to that, I know he's a quarterback, but add to that the fact that he's a football player. He probably has, I don't know how many concussions. And, well, yeah, no, you got to factor that into it. I mean, you just got to assume that he's got half his brain. non-responsive. Because this is a stupid move. Everybody wants to analyze this from a, is he right? What is it? Star Spangled Banner, is it racist? The person who wrote it, did you know they own slaves? Kill me. None of that matters. Zip. That's a total non-issue. What I see is a sad person who wants to feel relevant, has got it in his head that he's going to take a stand on a personal issue, and God bless him for it. You know what? This is a great country. Because guess what? He's allowed to make that stand. He's allowed to stand up in front of people and make whatever stand he wants. You know, there aren't very many countries, I'd like to add, where you can burn the American flag, where you can disrespect national symbols. Oh, well, that's a good point, right? I misspoke. There are a lot of countries where you can burn the American flag, but just not their flag. So, but here you're allowed to do it. But the thing is, when you go and you preach your personal opinion using a platform that isn't yours, you don't own the team, you don't own the league, the NFL, your team, they rely on sponsorship dollars. They rely on Americans across the country tuning in. And all those people have a choice, and they can make the choice to turn it off. And I'm telling you, it is the most disrespectful thing, not to America. I mean, it is the most disrespectful thing to do to your employer. And I'm going to explain it how, I'm going to explain what would happen to you and me if we went and did this at our day job. Yeah? Back after this, Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
You're looking for a show that doesn't sugarcoat the truth. Sam Nation will accommodate you.
All right. Sam Rogowski, Talk Radio, 790 KBC. And, well, you're tuning in. And listening to me talk about sports. Enjoy this, because it's rarely that your host, your servant, is out of his depth. But here I am talking about this Kaepernick thing. And I can't talk about any of the football behind it, because that is all Greek to me. We need to bring Sweet James in the studio to explain the sport of it. Maybe we need to have a Sweet James segment, because, you know, we're starting. I told you last segment, I gotta get everybody ready for this, emotionally prepared, because starting September 12th, so what is that, a week from this coming Monday? Yeah, a week from tomorrow, we are moving to weeknights. So we'll be on weeknights 7 to 8 p.m. So please, well, reset your clocks. Reset your timers every day, every weekday. Be more Sam Nation than you can even handle. Well, but we're talking about this Kaepernick thing. And Kaepernick, well, he's a quarterback. Let me explain. This is if you are sport illiterate, a quarterback's kind of a big deal, right? It's an important position, and you know, and it's an expensive position. That's another thing. These guys are paid gobs of money. What are you guys laughing in there? You guys are laughing at me. Yeah. I can't even say that on the air. Of course I can. I'm going to. Yeah, I need to. I guess he's half black, not quarter black. That's right. Quarterback. I said quarterback. We're going to chip in and get producer Robbie some hearing aids. Well, I don't know anything about sports, but I can tell you with the buzz from people that I talk to that are very connected into sport and follow it closely and follow football and love football. They're telling me that Kaepernick is one step away from being a total has-been. That's an important point here, too. He's locked into a salary. He's got a contract that pays him through the end of the year. But there have been ongoing discussions about moving him, sidelining him, and having a relief quarterback or some sort of assistant quarterback. I don't know how it works exactly, but having somebody else come in and take over for him because he's that bad. Apparently, he's lost a lot of muscle mass, and you need to be strong if you play football. And so, to some extent, you know what I was saying last segment about him being, well, feeling a little malaise. Contributing to that malaise is the fact that he's starting to realize that his time in the league playing football, the only thing that he does well, is certainly not political activism. It might be coming to an end. And so I posited to you what it would be like if you and I did this in the course of our day. What would that look like? Let me give you an example. Let's suppose for a minute that you work for Marriott. You work at the front desk. Your job is to welcome guests, get them checked in, and deal with all the a-holes that come through there or complaining about their... What are you now they're laughing again because they think that's me. But that's... I don't complain at every hotel. Just the Days Inn in Cleveland. Yeah, okay. Well... But yeah, your job is to interface with the public. Your job, you are there not as you. You are there as Marriott. That's right. You are wearing a uniform. And I don't want to get lost in that metaphor. It doesn't matter what that uniform, it doesn't matter if there's an actual uniform, but you are standing behind the desk. You have a name tag. You have whatever. You're actually dressed in a uniform or maybe a suit or whatever it is, but you are there wearing, you are there as part of a team. And the purpose of that team, of that entity, of that organization, well, if you're at Marriott, it's to make your guest feel welcome. Marriott makes money when people check into their hotels and pay the bill. Marriott makes money when people do that over and over again. Marriott makes money when people are loyal to the brand. You following me on this? It's very simple. Well, I know, but you know, you make $12 million a year and if you're Kaepernick, and it's obviously not that simple. Because you haven't put two and two together. If I'm working at front desk at a Marriott, I can't go, and somebody's checking in, and it's a policeman wearing a police uniform. I can't go all Black Lives Matter on him. I can't do that. Let me give you a better example. One that you might find more believable. If I'm working behind the desk of a Marriott, and Al Sharpton is checking in. Now, mind you, I know from personal experience, having stayed at the same hotel with Al Sharpton, if that guy stays in my kind of hotels and not Marriott's, okay? He's more of a Four Seasons, you know, Ritz-Carlton kind of guy. That's true. And it's a true story, by the way. One time, to my shock and horror, and I don't want to get off topic here too much, but I opened the door at the Beverly Hills Four Seasons in the morning in my room, and lo, coming out of his room just opposite me, Al Sharpton. Can't make it up. Anyway, but he's an activist, right? He cares about poor people, black communities. You know, he's all about that. But he stays in Beverly Hills at the Four Seasons. When you are at that hotel, if I was at the Marriott and somebody who I didn't agree with politically came to me to that desk and approached me, it's not my place to have a political argument with a guest at that hotel. Not because my political views aren't valid. It's because my political views there's a time and place for them. And the time and place for my political views is not when I am working as a representative of my employer. It's not. Now, in my opinion, okay, we're talking about Kaepernick here, you know, and what he did on the field. So my analogy to Marriott is very accurate because he was actually, so to speak, he was at the front desk, wasn't he? He was on the field. He was in uniform. He was on TV. He wasn't on TV because he's Colin Kaepernick, the individual, the athlete. He was on TV because he was participating in an NFL game as a part of an NFL team. Not his soapbox, not his podium. It's important. When a team buys a player, and believe me, I happen to think we pay somebody $13 million a year, you own his you-know-what. All right? You own that guy. And what is it? What do those teams want? What does the NFL want? They want ratings. They want people. They want eyeballs glued to the screen. They want sponsors that are happy. And what is the NFL at the end of the day? Even I know this. It's a place where people go to sell beer and sell cars and sell other stuff. Where do you think that $13 million comes from, Colin? Are you really that daft? The people paying that money to you are the advertisers. They don't care about your Black Lives Matter BS protest. Some might agree with you, some might disagree. But what you did was just dumb, it was short-sighted, and it did nothing to advance their brand. And the team, it's got to be hugely distracting to the team. I mean, if you're playing on that team, do you really want your teammate doing this? Do you want that kind of attention? You want attention on the sport. It's in any workplace. Soon as you're dealing with customers, it's not about you. Let me tell you the example again. Let's say you are working at a Marriott, and you come and you wear a pin, maybe a Hillary Clinton pin or a Trump pin. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I bet you dollars, I'll bet you real money that Marriott has a very specific policy against that. And I can also tell you as an employer and as an attorney that policy is absolutely valid. There's nothing illegal. You don't have free speech rights when you're on your employer's dime, on your employer's time. It's not a free speech argument. And so if I have to hear another stupid drive-by media guy on the Clinton News Network or MSNBC or wherever, droning on about, well, there's actually more to this than meets the eye because, you know, if you, that second verse, oh, they're talking about killing slaves. Meaning the second verse of the Star Spangled Banner. And even then, it's not exactly that. But the point is not to analyze whether or not his protest is valid in any way. It's a question of one, is that the time and place for it? And two, is an athlete, even when he's off the clock, is he somebody that ought to wade into a controversy? Is that his place? So when we come back, I'm going to tell you about wieners. And I'm not talking about the one in New York married to Huma Abedin. What happens? Well, this happened in Germany. I can't even. This is so funny. All right. So wieners when we get back. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio, 790 KABC.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, here's Johnny.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, on the show tonight is Sam Rogowski. Now, what Sam is the leading word in correct thinking, as opposed to Ed, which is drunk thinking. And that's usually where the left ends up, on the wrong side of right.
All right. Welcome back, Sam Rzhovsky, Sam Nation Talk Radio, 790 KABC. And if you haven't heard, we are starting on September 12th, moving to our new time slot on weeknights, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., Monday through Friday. And I'm going to be, that's right. So instead of just having to be limited to two weekend hours, you now get me Monday through Friday. All in, baby. All in. Speaking of all in, we're about to talk wiener. No. I'm not talking about America's favorite stay-at-home dad. Yeah, so only in Germany. Apparently, two motorists in Germany got into a confrontation about a parking spot. You know, if you're anywhere on the west side, pretty much anywhere in LA, you're going to get into a confrontation with somebody over a parking spot. May I suggest that any kind of an argument like this can be settled by a duel, a jumbo sausage duel. That's right. Apparently, a fellow motorist carelessly parked his car. Argument began. Some 49-year-old guy whips out a giant jumbo sausage. I can't make this up. Determined to have the last word, the angry motorist reached for the only weapon he had to hand. A 30-centimeter long sausage. Can we get that converted into inches? I don't, because we gotta decide how jumbo the sausage really is. Do we have a conversion? Whoa! I can't even say that on air. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a foot long. Nowhere does it say that he was strong as a mongoose. What is it, deceptively strong? But apparently, this isn't the first time that a brawl has broken out involving sausages, apparently. And we followed this when it happened, but there was 6 months ago, there was a shareholder meeting. Of all companies, the Daimler company, which is the parent company of Mercedes. They had an annual shareholder meeting, all the shareholders show up, and usually the way these things work, there's a junket, there's some catering, and a bunch of people with nothing better to do will show up and sit and listen to the CEO and the chairman talk about where the company has gone in the past year and some perspective kind of things of where the company's going to go. I've only been to one shareholder meeting. It's a good story. I'll get to it at some point. Remind me to tell you about my one shareholder meeting. It's a good. Do you know the story? Okay, it's a good one. But anyway, there are all these angry Germans at the shareholder meeting, and they're angry because there's something like 5,500 people attending, and only 12,000 sausages, and there was a run on the sausages. And they ran out of wieners. And the Germans revolted. That's right. Not enough wiener to go around for everybody. What is that? Look, I'm not great with numbers, but that's two wieners per attendee. You got to have at least three vegans in the room. So you figure not everybody's eating wiener. I know it's a family program and it's Sunday, but I just can't help myself. Oh, the motorist in the original incident had a cut above his eye, and police believe the metal clip at the top of the meaty product inflicted the damage. So there you have it. So, what happens What happens if you are accosted by a wiener-wielding motorist and end up with a gash caused by the metal clip at the top of the meaty product? Well, you call Sweet James, that's who you do. You've got to. I'm not joking. It's an injury. And maybe the person has insurance, maybe he doesn't, but he needs to pay. And really, do you want to be the person calling the insurance company and telling them you just got schlonged? No! You don't! Let a guy named Sweet James do it, okay? It'll be a lot funnier. And by the way, also, might I add, a lot more effective. Well, I told you yesterday what happened about that girl, the gal in the office. She's worked at the firm for years. She knows exactly what to do. Her father, you know, unfortunately passes away in a car accident. She thinks she's going to go do it by herself. She tries to, and she knows all the stuff. You know, she knows the secret recipe. I can't make light of this because it's serious stuff. It's serious stuff. She knows what to do. She knows what letters to write. She knows the whole thing. So she proceeds to do it on her own. And the insurance company does what? They deny her case. And the case didn't get denied because she didn't have the right information. The case got denied because her letters posed no actual threat to the insurance company. The insurance company knows that they don't have to do anything for her until she hires a lawyer. And so what happened? She hired Sweet James. That's right. And after a few letters coming from the firm, a couple of phone calls, lo and behold, the insurance company accepted and paid the full value of the policy it was an uninsured motorist policy. It was her own. It was her dad's own insurance, and they wouldn't pay. If you only could see the kind of situations where these companies just blatantly don't do what they're supposed to, it's mind blowing. So what do you need? You need a good guy. You need somebody who's going to take the fight to their door. And remember, a lot of these things aren't big confrontations because the insurance companies will pay you if you've got the right lawyer. And also, look, you want to go with the lawyer that you've picked, not a lawyer that's picked you. You know, don't go with one of these guys that's just, you know, that's gotten your name from some shady doctor who maybe treated you at the hospital. That happens all the time. Hey, they call them ambulance chasers for a reason. They're out there. Don't go with one. Pick your lawyer and make that lawyer Sweet James. How do you find him? Easy. You call 1-800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021, or go to sweetjames.com. Oh. I know we've got important stuff to talk about, but can we thematically just return briefly to Anthony Weiner? Can you believe this guy? And by the way, when Trump tweeted, you know, hey, I'm glad that. Basically, I don't have it here in front of me, but basically, I'm glad that Huma has come to her senses. I mean, this guy's a total pervert and creep. But think about the exposure. That's my word. The exposure of having this guy married to a person so close to someone so important. And the media said, well, this is just classic. This is Trump exploiting a personal pain, the private pain of Huma and her family. I'm listening to it, and I'm your truth seeker here on the show. I've got to come to you and give you my take. And my take, honestly, is It's true. It rings true. Because what is the classic KGB honey trap? Come on, folks, this is as old as time. Anna Chapman, remember her? KGB trains. I'm gonna tell you something here. You may be blown away when I tell you this. But Russia, they got some attractive chicks over there. Okay? So there, this is what happened. This is one oldest time tried and tested way that the KGB has penetrated American intelligence. What is it? It's the honey trap. They send an attractive girl. Attractive girl makes contact with somebody that they know to be vulnerable. And that attractive woman suddenly gains access. And here you have a sitting Secretary of State whose top aide, the one, you remember this gal, remember Huma? Isn't she the one who CC'd on all these emails on the homebrew server? She's handling classified information. She knows, she's got it all. She's got the keys to the kingdom. Hillary's gatekeeper. And who's she in bed with? Carlos Danger, who is known to the world wide and far as someone who's susceptible. These people and their judgment, so bad. Okay, when we come back, no more wiener talk. That much I can promise you. Well, maybe. I don't know. But we'll talk about Kaepernick a little more. Sam Rojofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KABC.
We shall fight on the airwaves. We shall fight on Twitter and Facebook. We shall broadcast our program, whatever the cost may be. And if Sam Nation lasts for 1,000 years, men will say this was their finest hour.
And we are running out of time here on Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. So, got to get this thing moving along. And reminding you that starting Monday, September 12th, we are moving to a new time slot on KBC, Monday to Friday, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. So, I'm going to be coming to you every evening, every weekday evening, starting September 12th. So, it's bittersweet. I've enjoyed our time together here on the weekend. So one last weekend, this coming weekend, and then weeknights. All right. Well, we're talking, about a lot of different things. But one of the things that we started about this hour today, we talked about Kaepernick and this ridiculous protest. And I was telling you why I think it's ridiculous. It's not even, I don't even necessarily want to argue the substance of it. But rather that the time and place of the protest was inappropriate. When Kaepernick is on the field, when he is in uniform, he is there as a representative of his team and of the NFL. He is there as a representative of the franchise and of the league. It is simply not his platform and podium. And he is there, in fact, I see it in some respects as a lack of gratitude. You know, you come in, you get a great chance. It's not disputed. You might be a great player. And even that, you know, I mentioned how he's certainly not doing too well right now in the season and may not even end up playing through the end of the season. But Kaepernick was a good player, and you know, and I'm going to be really clear here. I always think somebody you're worth the money that the market is willing to pay. Okay, this is something that is a cornerstone. If you are a listener of this program, you must understand that this is not in any way a criticism of his salary. He deserves every cent. So long as, and it's not, certainly not my place to decide this, But I would think so long as both sides are getting the benefit of the bargain. Kaepernick gets the money, and the league, and the team specifically, get a player who he's going to attract eyeballs. He's going to bring fans into the stadium. He's going to get people sitting in their living rooms, tuning in and watching the game. And I don't want to shock you, sports aficionados across America. I do not want to shock you. But it's not about the football. It's all about those damn ads in between the plays. It's those ads that are putting $12 million in Kaepernick's pocket and paying everybody else involved with the sport. The money in sport comes from the fact that there are so many people watching, and those so many people translate into ratings, and those ratings make the ads very expensive, but worth it for the advertisers who are advertising on the program. Now, it's as simple as those people who are tuning in. If they don't like what they see, they can turn it off. And so it's very, I'm telling you, it's very short-sighted of Kaepernick and others who decide to use their sport, and certainly when they're on the field in uniform, as a place to display their personal political agenda, or to argue their personal political agenda. Now, I think what makes the story even more ridiculous, we've all been here, you know, under the influence of some silly, crazy woman. Or man, right, ladies? You've been in relationships with men that you get out of it, and then you look back, you go, what? How did I let that guy influence me? But apparently, you know, Kaepernick was really just a mellow guy, not necessarily political in any way, shape, or form. But I guess his online social activism, lauding Black Lives Matter as a movement and other causes, all started since he began dating some chick. Now, who is this gal? She's an activist DJ. Have you heard about this? Well, her name is Nessa Diab. Two names. Nessa Diab. Starts dating her, I think, sometime in July of 2015. And within months, his social media posts begin to reflect all sorts of Black Lives Matter and Muslim activism. It's totally adopting this girlfriend's agenda. For example, October 15th, when they had the 50-year anniversary of the Black Panther Party founded, Kaepernick writes, "History!" on his Instagram. History! I don't see the picture here, what he posted, but what about if we say it's history when the leader of the new Black Panthers endorses Donald Trump for president? I wonder what Kaepernick would say to that. Well, if you missed yesterday's show, hit the podcast, because that actually happened, and we talked about it. And I think I made some good points. But anyway, so, you know, and it's all, somebody went through all the numbers and statistics, but he's posted, I don't know, however many photos or videos on Instagram over the last 4 years. And most of his posts in the beginning were all football gear, publicity photos, photos with friends, which, by the way, let me give you an advice. If you're an athlete, that's exactly the kind of stuff you want to put on Instagram, on all your social media. Because guess what makes you marketable? You ready? I'm going to give you some free advice if your agent hasn't given this to you. You got to be a good guy. One. Two, you got to be non-controversial. Because your brand, you're not just appealing to crazy people who think Black Lives Matter is actually great and think that, you know, Islam's some poor downtrodden movement in America. You've got to appeal to all Americans. The more people you appeal to, the better your brand is. The more marketable your brand is, because Because all those pesky advertisers can appeal to more customers. And the more customers they can appeal to, the more valuable you are. So, anyway, it was all him and football gear and all that, and then he meets this gal. Next thing you know, he's putting up pictures of Asada Shakur, who, if you don't know, we talk about her. We always come back to the fundamental problem with the Black Lives Matter movement is who they've taken on as their patron saint. Asada Shakur, let me tell you, it's a cop-killing terrorist, fugitive from justice. Escapes the police after killing, she killed a couple policemen. Ends up in Cuba after a jailbreak where I think she killed somebody else. I don't remember the full story, but listen to me. This is not acceptable. Because to close and round off this entire argument here, I want to attack a little bit of the substance of what he's saying too. The national anthem is not about what its lyrics, I'm not even going to say, it's not even what the lyrics say, and it's certainly not about who wrote it. Because the song does not celebrate its author. The song is a symbol that celebrates this country. And I am telling you here that if we are a country that will always disagree about issues, things, and maybe, you know, have wildly contradicting movements at times. But we're also a country that is capable, unlike any other, to course correct, to adjust, to make things right. And it's because of our Constitution. We've got this great, amazing Constitution that really does give liberties that no other country does. And this is so important to me because in this entire debate of was he right, was he not, what was the third, you know, the third verse, the second verse that we've forgotten is racist. This is a country that respects individuals like none other. Is it a perfect country? Not always. But why can't you engage in discourse? Why can't Kaepernick make a statement without showing disrespect to the country itself? Especially, isn't it just foul when a person who has made it, who has succeeded, who has, in this land of opportunity, made it big, then turn around and basically take a piss on it? I mean, it is. Because here's a guy who is half black, and the system hasn't, that's part of his identity. And he lives in a country that allows him to succeed, and most importantly, allows him to say what he thinks, no matter how wrong he might be. And so that's I think the, you know, substantively what's silly about what he's doing. And basically his girlfriend's got him all whipped. You know, that's what it is. I mean, don't be your own person, Colin. Come up with your own ideas. It's pretty transparent. All right. It's been fun. Go to samnation.com to get the podcast, get everything that you need, and email me, sam@samnation.com. I want to hear from you. Tell me what you think. Tell me I'm a big fat idiot. I want to hear from you. I'll see you here next Saturday, 3 p.m. Sam Rogowski, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC.